Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into something really visual, something you see all the time, maybe without even thinking about it.
Yeah, we're looking at photography, specifically landscape photography, and how just one simple line, the horizon line, can completely change how a picture feels.
Exactly. How that choice, where you put that line, can change the whole story the image tells.
Right. And our mission here, you know, is to pull out the key ideas from our research on this, looking at how composition works, how it guides your eye, even if you've, like, never picked up a proper camera.
We want to give you that shortcut to understanding why some photos just click, why they feel right.
And it's perfect timing, right? Summer's coming, people are getting outside more, maybe taking pictures of beautiful views.
Definitely. So that horizon line where the sky meets the land or the sea, our source calls it a bold slash from right to left. It just grabs your attention instantly.
It really does. And the sources explain why. Horizontal lines naturally draw our eyes across, and the horizon is often where you get really strong contrast.
Contrast, like light and dark.
Yeah, exactly. Think, you know, a light sky against dark rocks or trees, or maybe a snowy field under a threatening gray cloud, or even towering white clouds over sunlit fields or a glittering ocean. That contrast makes it stand out.
Okay, so it's a natural focal point.
Precisely. And that's why, as the source says, poor placement will feel jarring, even if you can't quite articulate why. It just feels off.
Okay, so it grabs our attention. It matters where it is. What's the general advice then? Where should photographers usually put it?
Well, the sort of standard advice is to place the horizon line no higher than the center of your image.
Not higher than the center.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, the source even suggests the center itself can feel too high. It makes the sky part feel a bit cramped.
Cramped, right, like it's squashed in.
Exactly. So the recommendation often is placing that horizon line in the bottom third of your photo will be even better.
The bottom third, like the classic rule of thirds idea.
Kind of related, yeah. It's about avoiding that exact middle split. The underlying reason is about emphasis. It's guiding the viewer.
Guiding them where?
Guiding them on what's more important in the scene, the sky, or the land. If you put it slap bang in the middle or too high without a good reason, it can feel flat. There's no clear focus.
Okay. It avoids that, like visual tug of war you mentioned. The viewer doesn't know where to look first.
Right. It makes the image feel less dynamic, maybe less engaging overall.
Okay, so bottom third is often better. But then, here's where it gets really interesting, right? What if you push it even lower, way down near the bottom?
Now you're talking. Putting the horizon line low puts the emphasis very much on the sky. It's a conscious choice. You're saying, look up. The sky is the main event here.
And the source has an example of this.
Oh, a great one. From a photo trip in Africa, you'd think, okay, wildlife photography, it's all about the animals.
Sure, lions, elephants.
Right. But the photographer describes these breathtaking views, the vast plains, the cool eye-catching trees, but then says the skies were even more incredible. Yeah, describing great towering clouds that could just roll across the wide open spaces in a matter of moments, sometimes fluffy white, sometimes foreboding steel gray.
I can picture that, huge skies.
Exactly. And sometimes they'd catch the sunset light perfectly. The conclusion was clear. The sky was the star of this show. So low horizon makes perfect sense.
Yeah, totally. And the source mentions other examples too, right?
Yeah.
Like a sky full of stars or seeing the Milky Way. You definitely want a low horizon for that.
Absolutely. You want maximum sky in the frame. There's another example given to a very different scene. A quintessentially New England image. A tree in fall colors.
Nice autumn scene.
Yeah, but under this really dramatic sky, one that seems to be threatening to rain or blow any moment.
Ooh, moody.
Very. And the source points out it's the sky that turns this from a picture of a tree into a story of the beauty and tumult of the changing seasons.
Ah, so the sky adds the drama, the context. It's not just a tree picture anymore.
Precisely. It really makes you think, doesn't it? How focusing on one element, like the sky here, totally transforms the feeling, the narrative of the image.
It really does shift the story. So, okay, if low horizon equals amazing sky, maybe you've already guessed what I'm about to say, but I'll say it anyway.
Goes on.
If you want to emphasize the foreground, you do the opposite, right? You raise the horizon line.
You got it. That's the logic. If the interest is down low, maybe amazing flowers, interesting rocks, a winding path, you raise the horizon to give that foreground more space, more importance.
But there's a but, isn't there? The source had a warning about this one.
Yes, a pretty strong caveat, actually. The photographer quoted says, "This is not something I do often. I still stand by my statement that a lower horizon line is better."
Still prefers the low one, generally.
Generally, but, and here's the key, when the foreground looks like this, referring to a specific example, presumably, a high horizon line makes sense.
So again, it comes back to intention. It's not the default, but it's a tool you use when the foreground really deserves that spotlight.
Exactly. It has to be a conscious decision because that foreground element is so compelling, so interesting, that it earns the right to dominate the frame. The sky becomes secondary, just a backdrop.
Makes sense. It's about knowing the rules. Like
right.
The low horizon is often good rule, so you know when and why to break it deliberately.
Right. Which brings us to breaking rules.
Yes. Because, like with almost any composition rule, there are times to break it. But the advice is always, understand it first, then break it on purpose, as an artistic choice.
Couldn't agree more. And this applies strongly to the centered horizon line. The source is pretty clear that most of the time you should avoid it.
Why is it usually considered bad?
Well, think about what we said earlier. It leaves the viewer without clear guidance. Is the sky important? Is the foreground important? If neither gets emphasis.
It just feels,
Pretty much. Even a beautiful landscape can feel flat and bland. There's no story and therefore less to engage the viewer's appreciation. It's like a visual tie, and ties are usually boring in photos.
A visual stalemate. Okay, yeah, I get that. But there's always an exception, isn't there?
Huh. Usually isn't photography. And yes, there's a big one here. The source says, if you have the opportunity to catch some element of the landscape reflected in a body of water.
Reflections.
Exactly. The stiller and more mirror-like, the better. A centered horizon line could be an ideal choice.
Okay, so why does it suddenly work there?
Because the story changes. You're no longer just showing land and sky. You're emphasizing the balance and the symmetry of the scene.
The reflection itself becomes the subject almost.
In a way, yes. And that centered horizon is enhanced by the horizon line, cutting the image into two mirrored halves. It reinforces that perfect symmetry.
That's fascinating. So a composition choice that's usually weak suddenly becomes the perfect choice because of the subject matter. It highlights the reflection.
Precisely. It goes from being confusing to being this really powerful statement about balance, about harmony. It's brilliant when used right.
So, okay, let's pull this all together. What's the big takeaway from all this?
I think the core message is that the horizon line is way more than just, well, a line where sky meets land. It's a powerful tool for telling a story with your image.
It directs the viewer's eye, creates emphasis.
Absolutely. Whether you place it low to make the sky the hero, high to focus on something amazing in the foreground, or even dead center for that perfect reflection, it's always a decision. A narrative choice.
Yeah, it's never just accidental.
Mm.
Or it shouldn't be. And this isn't only useful if you're taking photos, right? It changes how you look at images, how you look at the world.
Totally. Mm. Next time you're out, or even just looking at pictures online or in a gallery, notice the horizon. Where did the photographer put it? What effect does it have on you?
What does it make you focus on? What story is it telling?
Exactly. You start to see these things actively, not just passively accepting the view. It's about understanding that visual language.
And like the source material says, practicing this helps you get better. The more you practice making decisions about photo composition while you're out shooting, the better and more sure-footed you'll get.
Sure-footed. I like that. It implies confidence, understanding.
It does. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? This idea of practice making decisions to become sure-footed. How does that apply elsewhere, beyond just taking pictures?
Hmm. In understanding anything complex, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Interpreting information, forming opinions.
Yeah, perhaps practicing deliberate choices, understanding the why behind different approaches helps you navigate anything more confidently, more intentionally. Something to think about.